And we'll do roll call. You want to start?
Linda Johnson, I'm here.
Linda Smith, I'm here.
Justin Cutler here.
And Mike Jensen here. And I don't see a flag for the Pledge of Allegiance, so...
What happened to it? I think it's in the other room. And
should we just stand?
Do you need help?
No, I can't just bring it in.
You know, at some point in time, I'm going to talk to the city about passing the hat to get a new standing pole. We had it perched on a chair last week when we were doing the swearing in for everybody.
I want the opening ceremony for the game last night.
The smaller one.
That was not stunning, you know.
I didn't see the opening ceremony.
Mike, that was one of the better parts. That was a good game, though, I'll tell you. Clear up to the last 2 minutes.
Oh, great.
No, I didn't see it. I got there right after...
They played a good game. Maybe the chamber could help out at one of their lunches, a breakfast, to pass the hat for the... Yeah, we need
all
to
right.
pull.
Let's stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance, please. We'll wait for
chamber.
Mr. Barco, just on time. How are you?
And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right. Thanks for getting that for us, Patty.
We need another one.
And Dan, these are two of our guests. They're new transplants from. Did you get them from Las Vegas?
No, I came from North California.
Okay.
Oh, that's my neck of the woods.
Yep. Born and raised there.
And he
I
came
Joseph. I met him.
Okay, great. Yeah. Joseph came from Vegas and he wants to be a writer and do some of the stuff I do. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. The idea when we met last time was to get together in early January and kind of go over the application as well as just the parameters around which we kind of work. And Joseph, for your information and for Gary's, the
application.
The TRT committee, TRT stands for transient room tax. So basically we work at the pleasure of the city council. And basically we're an extension of the city council. So our job is to basically do something that they might normally do, but they're so darn busy that it's good to bring other community members in. And do this. So our job is to kind of evaluate the possibilities for distributing the taxes that are taken in from hotels, RVs, motels, campsites. You think of anything else?
Isn't it 7% now? Don't they charge 7%?
Well, I don't think it went up. I think it was still 6 the last I heard.
Every time somebody stays here, they have to pay this transit room tax. And at the every what quarter does it go into the city? Every 3 months.
Yes.
Then, like the hotels and motels and campgrounds and RV parks have to send it in to the county, and then the county or do they the ones that are inside the city just send it to the city now?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know better than I do. I'm not sure.
Does it still come from the county?
No, I believe it should be sent directly to the city.
Yeah, we get checks every month from different entities.
Okay, so everyone sends their taxes in here that are in the core area
for
the
previous month.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of what we do, and the idea is to get all of the applications evaluated and more or less adjudicated by the end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th of this year. And so what we're evaluating is any applications or funds that would be distributed after June 30th, you know, beginning July 1st for the 2000 and I guess it'd be 11, 12 fiscal year.
Yes.
Well, those taxes come to the city and then we get a portion of it and it has to be used for tourism to attract more people to come to Lapine. That's the whole purpose of applying for funds.
That's right. Okay, so
quick question real quick, if I may. Vacation rental houses count in the people who owe money for...
If it's less than 30 days, yes. If you have a vacation rental house in here and you rent it out for less than 30 days, 2 days here, 4 days there, it's less than 30 days, then you have to pay the transit room tax. Anything 30 days and above is considered long-term rental. And that's a different thing.
Okay, so bottom line is the idea was to get together in early January and basically take a look at the application, take a look at the requirements or the considerations for approval and make any changes that we felt might want to make. And then I believe that we talked about trying to get a notification for applications out by around the first part of February. Is there anything else from the committee that we need to add to the agenda other than the evaluation of the application or the parameters?
I just have a clarification. I thought, at least it was my understanding when we met with City Manager McGowan, that a lot of people thought this application was cumbersome and that perhaps it should be like downsized a little.
Okay.
That was my understanding. Is that...
Well, we can probably invite Dan's input on that here in a moment. But I think that's one of the reasons we wanted to get together and talk about it as well.
Okay.
I guess what I'm trying to do here is see if we have anything additional to talk about, and if we don't, then I'd like to move to approving the minutes and then get into our discussions.
I think just one time before we actually start going through the weeding out of the applications, which would be March or April or whenever we do that, that we probably, because we've got everybody new on the committee, need to go through the resolution that set up the committee for just for historical purposes, for a little bit of background, just a couple of pages.
Yeah.
But we don't need to do that tonight.
I'd like to do that when everyone's here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so perhaps next time we can go through that and maybe we can ask Patty to send it out to everybody so that we can do a little pre-reading and not take up a lot of the extra time. All right, so if there are no added agenda items, then I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of October 6th.
So moved.
Okay, and a second?
I second.
Okay, any discussion? All right. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And I think you need to sign a copy. Is that right, Patty?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it have to be legible?
Yeah.
Could just be that.
My mother always said I should have been a doctor or a pharmacist.
Thank you.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the requirements for consideration, and I believe that in the packet that Patty sent out, I think if you printed it out in order, there is a couple pages about City of Lapine Tourism Grant Funding Criteria. So basically, I don't want to read it word for word, but the bottom line is, as you said, Linda, the idea is to take the funds that are assessed through the hotels, the RV parks, the homes rented less than 30 days, campsites, what have you. And all of those taxes are levied and collected by the city. And we are given the task of evaluating what to do with, I believe, 70% or is it 75%? The city keeps how much?
I thought it was more like 50%.
No, I don't think it's that much.
I think it's 70, according to statute.
It's 30%.
Yeah, they keep 30.
Yeah, okay, so the city keeps 30 and we evaluate for 70.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, though, we just make, our job is to make recommendations to the city council, and they can do what they want to with the money, but we're here because they've asked us to do that for them. So basically, we evaluate an estimate of the amount of funds coming in, and the idea is that the tourism activities that we dole out to people who receive it must be focused on people who are coming from more than 50 miles away and stay, at least stay overnight. Those are kind of the two main areas, and we really kind of consider the incorporated area, City of Lapine, to do that. So is there any other discussion we need to have about that or any other questions?
About the criteria or about?
Yeah, about the criteria.
Well, I think the criteria are mandated by state statute.
Right.
So I don't.
And there's other criteria too. This is just kind of a little synopsis, and it's really to encourage people from 50 miles out. If you're advertising, mm-hmm. it has to go, your advertising in order to qualify for dollars has to be targeted at an area where they would come at least 50 miles to attend this, and maybe, or stay overnight. They don't have to. We don't have to stay overnight.
So if they just drove down for the, let's say, the rodeo for one day, and we were using money to drive them from Madras to do that, or Prineville.
That would work. That if we're doing advertising. That's when we got into, we could only give the Wise Buys so much,
yeah.
because they didn't go far enough out.
Right. Okay. All right, so any...
I think general comments about kind of the criteria and the scoring is I think it'd be really good. I think it's important for us to look at the ROI, return on investment. You know, what are we getting, and
yes.
make sure that we improve that metric a lot more. You know, whether it's there's a survey out there that a gentleman named John Crompton put together. You know, how do you equate the economic impact of tourism? And it's a survey that you can hand, a participant survey that you can hand out at Frontier Days. And I should have brought it with me, but I think it's something that we should consider is requiring different groups like the rodeo, like Frontier Days, like you know, XYZ group that does these events that we fund, we require them to hand out the survey, if nothing more for their own benefit, but also
yes.
for our benefit to see what is our return on investment. You know, are these events doing what they say they're doing?
Well, the city council mandated that, and the only
yeah.
ones that do it is the visitor center,
right.
because they're set up with their sets of books to show that, and High Lakes Car Club did a fantastic job because
right.
they track everybody and where they stay and everything, which I don't think it needs. But if you've got a survey,
right.
I mean, we might want to really seriously consider saying, you know, we need to track what your event did.
Can
yeah,
you copy that out?
Yeah.
And
that would be wonderful.
That's a good idea.
If you can send it out,
okay, sure, really helpful.
Why don't you, if you could send it to Patty and she can shoot it out to everybody. The other thing that I think we talked about last year was the idea for returning requesters that when they submit their application this year, they would also submit a report on basically an ROI type of report
yeah.
that would say, hey, you know, we had a rodeo, and it was great, and it was packed, and as a result of the money invested, we were up,
mm-hmm.
you know, 10-20% or whatever. And I just used rodeo because I know the rodeo was way.
Our attendance was up, and our vendors sold mm-hmm. more, and the rodeo. Okay.
Right.
So on top of being able to say that so many people stayed over, or exactly, whatever else.
Exactly.
We
that's
incorporate that on the survey, too.
Well, I was thinking, we're talking about kind of two different
reports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them is a survey that Justin's saying you can hand out at events.
Yeah, it would go to the participant. They would fill out how much money they spent locally, where they stayed. Are they local or are they from elsewhere, you know, and you can hand it out to every 10th person at your event that bought a ticket.
But the other idea is to ask the people who have received money in the past,
exactly,
who are again submitting applications, to submit a report. And basically it's...
Was it successful compared to last year?
Yeah, kind of like a P&L report, like you
okay,
might
that would be
get
good
it from the business or
because we could track
like
economics during that time, and
yeah,
maybe that wasn't a good time to have that because they were having something in Chemult or...
Well, yeah. Ed, go ahead, Dan.
Well, I love this idea, and I think the other thing that would be really helpful to those of us that are promoting events is would be to have a survey of the providers out there, you know, like the lodging and service stations and food
restaurants,
people.
Yeah.
I've been told, you know, it's all hearsay, but I hear things like when the Blue Lightning Mat Club has something, Ray's runs out of food or something, you know, I mean, stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be nice to quantify that and know, and there's been discussion about trying to spread events out over more time and not having them all on the same weekend and those things. I think it would help us make wiser decisions, and I think that would be a good place to spend some of that 30% that the city spends on some of those surveys, that the city retains,
uh-huh,
on those surveys, that we could actually come up with some better numbers, you know, to know what's working and what isn't working.
Right.
You know.
So, I think what I'd like to suggest is that as we're going through the application, we're also kind of churning back in the back of our minds, okay, what types of things would we like to have submitted back from kind of a P&L perspective? Just,
okay.
I mean, I'm a businessman, a bottom line kind of perspective.
What?
Yeah,
the
P&L. Profit
and loss. Basically, what we're looking for or considering is, you know, XYZ event had an event last year and they're asking for money this year. What I'd like to see is from the money that we distributed to them last year.
You want to know what you got?
I want to know what we got back. I want to know if it was successful, how it was used, what it was used on, and you know, what their numbers were like. We need to have the people start thinking about a little bit of accountability on some of this. Linda?
On that same note, I agree with you, but you want to be able to keep that report that they have to submit back to us brief, too, because you don't want to cumber them up with too much paperwork saying, you know, it's...
I'm thinking maybe five bullet points.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, on a page, like a one-page thing that they could just fill out handwriting.
And for the survey, too. Just ask them, did you eat in town? Did you stay in an event? Where did you stay? Was it in the core area? That kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so here's, kind of in summary, what I'm hearing is maybe if we tracked attendance and we get 2 years, so they give us this grant year and last year. That way we have kind of something to compare it off of.
If they have it.
They give us revenue expenses for those 2 years, and then bottom line, you know, and then, you know, plus or minus, profit or loss. And then use of funds, you know, just a bullet point for the current year. They don't have to give us previous year. But those would be four, kind of the four things that we could track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those seem really simple. I mean, those are things that they should already be tracking regardless of us asking for them.
But sometimes it's a brand new event.
Well, they just have 1 year. Yeah, it's fine.
Did you get those captured, Patty?
I wrote them down.
Okay.
So, but is there any other categories? That's four. Do we want to have a fifth? Maybe just any pictures?
I guess, you know, one of the things that I would like to do, and I know that we took a real change, I think, in a positive direction last year by working with the visitor center and asking them to kind of coordinate a lot of combined efforts so that we could, you know, the purchasing power of the money distributed could be utilized better. So we're not going to KITC and throwing them, you know, a couple thousand dollars to promote tourism because we know they don't reach past the city limits. We'd love to do that and support something local, but we just know. So I guess I'd like to know maybe additionally what they, how they promoted, you know, what types of things were successful in promoting their event. And I know that part of that's in the application, but people do a lot of different things that sometimes you don't find.
So how about this? What I hear is success in promotion or intriguing advertising stories. That would just be some kind of something that they
got. Yeah, a little narrative or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Linda was going to say.
Well, when the three combined and for marketing dollars, the rodeo, the Frontier Days, and who else was in on that?
It's probably Jade's.
At that point?
Okay. How are you going to do, are you going to just do a combined report on that?
I think what I would do is ask them for that information, and we would compile it back in a summary to the TRT board.
Yeah.
See, and I think this is really good, too, that we've been doing this in the past when we go through an application, like say these two gentlemen were coming up to apply for something. We use it as an educational opportunity for all of us to try and get them their funds and tell them what qualifies and what doesn't, and that's at the time we can say, and this is why we need this, because we have to find out what worked and what didn't and what brought tourists in.
Right. Okay. So, did you have something else?
Yeah, I have a couple other things.
Okay.
The other thing I think would be helpful for us to put together is a scoring sheet. I think that would help people to, and just come up with a sheet that would help people understand what are we scoring people on? You know, is it, you know, obviously we're going to have these, I think, and some suggestions would be points for new events or activities. So any new, and maybe even we set and my recommendation would be maybe we even set aside a small portion and say, this is our entrepreneur fund right here. You know, we want to set aside, you know, I don't know how much money we'll have, but 5%, 10% of the funds and say, this is going to go to brand new events. We're going to take a chance. We're going to say, we want to get even that many more people in our community. So let's set this money aside for new events. So maybe we have a criteria for new events. Then we have points for filling out the report. So if they don't fill out the report, they're going to be scored lower. And then provide outcomes. And then, and so that maybe we come up with that scoring criteria and that scoring sheet, just so people know what the playing field is.
We can't deny anybody. And if they got a lot, if they meet these state statutes and they qualify for the money,
we can make it a competitive grant process. There's no reason we can't. We don't have to. Like, if I come,
I don't remember that was in the rigs. I thought that we had so much money and
this is a criteria. I mean, it's kind of a framework, but we don't have to. I mean, there's nothing in here that says we have to give 10% to everybody. I mean, there's nothing that says if a group comes to us and says we want $500, we have to give them $500. There's nothing that says that.
That's true. What it does say, though, is
we just have to come up with a criteria.
If they're qualified, if they pass all the things, then they are deemed qualified, and then it's up to us to make a recommendation to the city council as to how much we would recommend approving them for.
But what are we making that recommendation? But I'm talking about how. I'm talking about the how.
Right.
How are we going to make that recommendation? What criteria are we going to use? We have this. We have this. The ORS that says whether or not they're qualified. But beyond that, what criteria are we going to use to determine somebody's eligibility based on our criteria?
But you're saying the scoring sheet is only for us. I mean,
correct. And for the person applying, so they know what we're evaluating them on.
Yeah.
So did they get a copy of the scoring sheet after we evaluated them?
Well, they would have to. It's public.
It's a public record. So.
It's just a recommendation. I mean,
right,
putting it out there, you know, it's a committee decision. You know, it's typical of grant programs. You know, you have a scoring sheet, you have criteria you're scored on. You know, I think it would really help us. I mean,
from the standpoint of... I think we need direction from the city.
Can you make it approval, submitted for approval pending completion of that survey? It's like, you know, we're going to approve it. Just finish this for us because we need it.
Well, not this year because the surveys haven't been handed out yet.
Right, but when...
In the future.
In the future. Here's what I'd like to suggest.
Right.
I see A, B, and C here on this application, and I can think of one other thing, and maybe it's just because I'm a marketing guy, but I guess the other thing I'd like to see on here is how do you plan to market your event?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if we were to assign a scoring system,
mm-hmm.
you could assign a value of 25 points to each one,
yeah.
A, B, C, and D,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just a matter of how do we score that. Now, a good example of that might be if they do a great job of A, B, and C and don't submit a you know, anything other than, well, we plan to put an ad in the Eagle for their marketing, then I'd probably score that pretty low, just because, number one, the Eagle only goes so far outside the 50-mile perimeter.
Can you tell them up front?
Yes.
That doesn't go far enough?
Yes. Because one of the things I would like to do with this application is maybe provide a set of instructions to the applicants to make it easier. Number one, let's tell them, you know, mm-hmm. if they're approved, when they're going to get the money. So, you know, last year we had the issue, and I think it was the car club that was doing their event the last weekend of the year.
And they didn't know it the year before.
And mm-hmm. and we couldn't approve them.
Right.
And then they realized that. They're like, okay, yeah, now we know. So we just couldn't approve them for that. Mm-hmm. That needs to be in the application. We are accepting applications for events that occur July 1st through June 30th.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, I think a lot of the rest of this is pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
We can provide a short narrative.
Yeah. Question. This is the application, but is this, like, it references page 2. Is this page 2 of the application?
That's 1 and 2, yes.
Is that, like, where it says the City of Lapine Tourism Grant Funding Criteria?
Yeah. And then
that's
another page.
That's part 2, page 2. And then
there's a final page.
There's a final page.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were saying there, Mike, where you were saying marketing, is under number 2, demonstrate how the organization will use TRT funds for one or more of the following purposes.
Right.
And that's like marketing special events and festivals.
And I guess what I'm looking at is the basic app is pretty much of a one pager.
Yeah, okay. So
I guess what I'm suggesting is we add a third, a fourth category that says marketing.
Okay, I understand now.
So that's what I'm suggesting.
But, you know, didn't we also give... We've also done things like the permanent bathroom at Roslyn Park, mm-hmm. and some other things, and they're not listed on here. I mean, there's a bunch of things you can use tourism dollars for. So I'm wondering if we couldn't redo this to be a little more bullet point and a little less specific.
Okay, what do you have in mind?
I don't know. I just think it looks kind of intimidating.
Okay, well, here's what I kind of anticipated this type of discussion.
And it's good.
and that's one of the reasons we decided to get together so early mm-hmm. in January. Because I think that there's some opportunities with the application. And I think what we realized that last year. We certainly realized it when we were going through the app process. So I think what I would like to suggest is that we do a little bit of homework outside. Mm-hmm. Justin, maybe one thing you could do would be to
look at that survey.
Get the survey, bring that in, get that out to everybody, mm-hmm. and then also maybe provide a short, 25 words or less narrative about how the scoring piece works. Mm-hmm. And I'll be happy to provide a 25 word or less description of what we're looking for from an advertising marketing perspective. And would you mind writing up something that would speak to a little less constraining wording of what you were talking about?
What tours and dollars you mm-hmm. use for?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
all the years we've been in here, the city council has said you do not decide whether someone gets dollars or not. If they meet the state regs, you say they've met the state regs and you send it on. They said at no time could we deny it. And if we start saying,
I don't think we're saying that we're denying it.
Well, what's the score going to be for
them? The score is basically how they meet the criteria. So in other words, if a good example, if somebody, doesn't provide a narrative of the nature and timing of the events, and they just say, "Well, we're gonna put together a tricycle parade on August 1st."
And we want $100 for advertising.
Right. It's a very valid event. If they use that $100 outside the 50-mile radius, or if it brings in overnight guests. However, I think what we're talking about is that we could use the scoring to help us determine a weighted average or a weighted scoring level of, in the grand scheme of things, how important is that $100 for them versus giving $100 to Frontier Days or
who has their act together? You mean what you're trying to say?
Yes. So in other words, I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't preclude us from giving them money, but maybe we only give them $50 because we feel like somebody else deserves a little bit more money, and so we seed them. And say, we like your idea. We think you need to get a little bit more organized, and so we're going to give you $50, and we'd like you to come back next year with a little bit more extensive plan, something like that. Does that make sense?
It does. The tourism committee, though, doesn't it just make the recommendations to the city?
Absolutely.
So this scoring card would be a recommendation to the city based on our input and everything. They would make the final decision as to whether to get the money or not.
But the way it would be done would be in this pretty much the same format we did last year. I think we gave the city about a page and a half worth of recommendations, and it wouldn't go. So basically, it's a tool for this committee.
Right.
We're not going to send the city council, XYZ event scored 80 out of 100. It had a good beat, but I couldn't dance to it or whatever. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
We're also supposed to encourage new little activities and new little programs and new little things to come into hot air balloons mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. spaghetti feeds or Oktoberfest or something to come in. And those people may not have their act together, like Parks and Recs and like Frontier Days and the radio, who are very good at what they do. How can you say, you don't really have it together, so we're only going to give you $50 and we're giving rodeo 5,000.
Well,
I mean,
so then we've done that in the past, though. I mean, that's pretty much what we had to divvied up the money. I mean, it's no different. What we are saying, though, is to be able to provide a more quantitative method of how we do that, and what I'd like to see us drive towards is a more proactive method of helping them by saying, okay, you know, bottom line is, we set a date of whatever, maybe June 1st by the time we're going to evaluate all of our applications. So if XYZ Bloomfest comes in and says, here's our app, and we look at it and we score it and we're like, you know, you're missing some stuff here. You just don't seem to have your act together. We'd like to evaluate this again in another month. Would you like to go back and do some more work on it? And I think we actually did that with a couple of folks last year. Do you remember anything about that, Dan? Did we have any events that we went back and asked? I think we had some questions for the Mountain Men, maybe.
There was questions there, and the interaction with the High Lakes, I think, was kind of late, but it was that's what it was.
So I think what we're saying is that, to my knowledge, we've always, I don't think we've ever given everybody all the money they wanted. But what we have done is more or less evaluated it on a weighted scale of importance. And I think what Justin's suggesting with the scoring is a method to help us keep that a little bit more quantitative. Mm-hmm. Which I think is probably a good idea. I don't think that we're saying what you're concerned about, that we're not going to give them money, but we may only give them X amount if they choose to just say, no, our application is as submitted and we really don't want to do any more work on it.
Can I talk?
Sure, go ahead.
I appreciate what you're saying about giving every event some money, or
if they meet
the criteria, right. Exactly. However, I think I would caution us against that notion from the standpoint that, you know, when I make a grant request to XYZ Grantor, you know, be it as a park district, be it as Justin Cutler, you know, nonprofit foundation, or be it as whatever group, and if I ask for, let's say, $5,000. And you come back and say, well, I only want to give you $3,000, and that money is actually dependent on our receipts. I'm left then in a pickle of, okay, well, I applied for five there. Well, if this is the only, let's say this is the only place I applied as being a nonprofit, then I'm in a pickle because then I only get three. Well, maybe I can't do my event. So now we've invested three in an event that may or may not happen when we could have invested all of our, could have invested fully in another event and said, well, you know, maybe this event isn't as important, and then we would have gotten more bang for our buck. So by parsing out the money at a percentage rate, I think we're doing more harm than more good as a group. So if we are to deny some groups money, I'm okay with that. I think it's, and if we make a recommendation to City Council that, you know, these are our top five events, and we are going to do these really well because we, you know, they have a proven track record, or they're brand new and they have a proven track record. I mean, if let's say we got, you know, some special event planning company that came to town and wanted to do that Bloom Festival. They had their act together, they came with their P&L, they showed us their business plan, you know, and they showed us how they were going to do their marketing. They already said, hey, we have $10,000 over here already in the bank. We need you to give us $2,500 to put us over that mark. I say we should go for it. I mean, if they already have $10,000 in the bank and they want to, you know, they just need $2,500, let's give them that $2,500 and let's not tell them, oh, you're going to get 5% of whatever we bring in, because then it's hard for them to budget, hard for them to know when we're going to get it. I think we're going to get more bang for our buck if we look at, you know, in a criteria way and say, you know, hey, this group, they have their act together, they don't have their act together, they've shown, you know, history, they've shown this, that, the other thing. You know, let's go for that. You know, let's make that investment, because I think...
Well, and one other thing I'd like to see in here is, what other sources of funding do you have?
Exactly, maybe that's
I'd like
question.
To see that on the application, is what other sources
of funding. Well, maybe we could give them suggestions, because
PITA used to have great suggestions of where to go for other grants. I just don't want to turn away something that might be happening at the senior center and they only need $200 and they're going to have auction off a quilt. And
you do have to remember, though, and I don't disagree with you.
But something they hadn't planned. Something that somebody sat around a potluck and said, you know what we ought to do in 4 months? We ought to be doing this.
And see, that's one of the reasons that the city has that other 30% is so that, and as I recall from talking to the city councilors last year, they wanted to retain that opportunity. When we presented the bottom line to them, I can't remember who it was, but I think somebody said, almost the same scenario. What happens if they do something at the senior center, they want to do a quilt or whatever, and they need a couple hundred bucks? They wanted to have their piece of the pie, that 30%, to be able to dole some of that out to them.
No, that's our set-aside. Don't we have some in a set-aside that's supposed to pay for in-between?
Well, yes, but we don't evaluate that. The city council does. And we actually asked for the set-aside to be included in the money. This past year, we asked for that set aside to be rolled over into the funding.
So we don't have any more for emergencies then? The things that come in after the application?
No, because the city has the money. The city has money.
They spend that 30%.
Well, we don't know that yet.
On road and stuff, don't they?
I don't.
I think it's sitting there.
Yeah, I think it's just the conversations I've heard. Here's what I'd like to do.
Okay.
Patty, if you wouldn't mind just taking a note to ask Rick if, based on his evaluation of the criteria, are we allowed to decline funding if someone is otherwise qualified? Or let me rephrase that. Are we allowed to recommend declining funding if someone is otherwise qualified? Doesn't mean we're going to. Just means, you know, is that an item for evaluation? And then the other thing I'd really like to do, and I think that we need to spend a little bit of time on, is I would like to probably also hear back from Rick. To know, not that it matters to us, but I think it's just good general knowledge, what the city has done with that other 30% over the years. And I think it's, we're in year number four now, or we're in year number four. So, because at some point in time, we may go to the council and say, pretty much, you know, like you just said, Dan, we'd like to request $2,000 from your 30% for surveys, because you know, we think it's valuable to know what's driving people here. Or we may go to the city and say, we'd like to request that you give us 85% rather than 70%. And they can make that decision.
Yes, they can.
So, did you have a comment?
I was just pointing to Linda because I can see she's looking at the same thing I am.
I know.
In the criteria here.
Right. On page 3 of the application, number 7, where you were saying provide a budget and sources of other revenue necessary to complete the project for tourism activities. Then it says a template of minimum requirements could be provided as part of this application form. See attachment 12. Well, what is attachment 12 to?
That must be something in the state ordinances.
Well, it should be.
But we should either eliminate that or get the attachment.
Get the attachment, but
do you have a copy of it?
I don't know for sure if this is it, but all those points, those 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are all parts of that criteria
right,
that you're talking about on that.
Right, on the form.
Yeah, and this is a copy. I need this back, but this is what we use, and it shows how much the total is and then how much we're asking for TRT. So you can kind of see from there what the other investment is from other sources. So that's sort of is possibly a weighted thing that says, well, we know that the community is committed to this because they're putting other X dollars besides what they're asking from TRT, so that sort of shows community support.
I think that what I'd like to see
is that might be the grid at 12, that might be that.
Yeah.
It could be, yeah.
And I think what I'd like to see is when we, you know, when somebody calls or when someone says, hey, I need to download the application, we provide an example like that of them with, okay, here's how we show the funding. So I think that, quite frankly, we've got all the criteria we need to use to evaluate things. We need to have a little bit of information. You know, can we decline to recommend someone? And just for our knowledge, I think it'd be good knowledge to know what the city's done with their 30%, and I think, quite frankly, they have free rein to do whatever they darn well please. I'm not sure if I've ever seen anything that says they have to spend theirs on tourism.
No, I think the state statute just restricts how much they can retain, and they're retaining the maximum.
Right.
Yes.
So here's what I think we have as action items. Justin's going to provide a little narrative on the scoring, as well as get a copy of the survey mechanism to Patty to send out to the team. I will put together a short narrative of the marketing piece based on the criteria that we already have. And then Linda, you're going to kind of peruse through these back two pages because, it almost kind of reads like you need to be an attorney to understand these darn things.
Well,
I'd like to see it a little.
And I'd like to make it a little simpler, demonstrate how proposed tourism projects will increase tourist visits to establishments within the city. Are we talking about grocery stores, restaurants, whatever?
Quite frankly, I think what you're talking about is further defining it rather than, you know.
Well, I just want to make it simple.
Well,
how will this?
I guess what I'd like to ask you to do is to take a stab at it.
Okay.
And then I think what's appropriate for our next meeting is that I would like us to circulate this stuff before the next meeting. And then when we get back, I'd like to have us pretty much get the application put together and ready to roll, because I really would like to have the application available by the first week in February. Does that sound doable to everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a clarification, Linda. As Dan noted on this page three of this form, items 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are sort of redundant of these first four up there. So
basically, I'll just do the last page then.
Yeah.
And you're going to do this one, right? You said you were going to do a marketing piece.
I'll do a little marketing piece to add to the one pager. I'd like to keep the application as a one pager. However, there may be instructions that are more than one page.
See it on the first page where it says a budget document template. See page 3 of this application is this where they're referencing attachment 12.
I think that's the document that Dan just showed us.
That one.
Yeah, and
okay.
Quite frankly, we can probably use last year's document as a sample. We can put a watermark sample on it or something like that and just show them, hey, here's a good idea of what you can put together.
That'd be helpful.
And we have to remember, though, that one of the things that we did a great job of last year is encouraging a cooperative effort through the Tourism Center. Not that we want to discourage balloon fest or trike parades or whatever we end up, you know, getting. But it was a lot easier to manage, I know from a visitor center's perspective as well as from our perspective, to manage the whole process. Mm-hmm. And I know that I think we really ended up with like basically three applications. I think the visitor center, one from Parks and Rec, and one from
High Lakes.
There was five or six rolled into the visitor.
Yes, you had
in the Mountain Man Dixieland.
Well, Mountain Man
we threw out, but I mean it.
We had the rodeo, Frontier Days, Jade's, Dixieland, and
the Bowman, I think, the Bowman will be this time.
And so, did we do the 100-year party in there too, or?
We had that in as the Pine Centennial Celebration and combined tourism marketing campaign. We just batched all that kind of together.
But that came out of the visitor center then?
Okay, so. I had another question.
Go for it.
But I mean, it's off the grant criteria.
Okay, no, go ahead.
So my other thought is, I know that one of my frustrations with the TRT fund is that insecurity of just knowing how much we're going to get or who's going to get what.
Right.
So one thought about, you know, how do we take out that kind of insecurity within the fund? And so, you know, what we could do. One thought is that we could create. We could talk with the city council about maybe using that 30% if they haven't used it this year to start budgeting for future years. And in the sense of, you know, we don't know how much we're going to bring in for fiscal 10-11 for a tourism tax. We don't know. I mean, it's kind of a...
Could be good, could be bad.
Who knows? Well, why are we budgeting off of that? That doesn't make sense. It's not something that we can control. So, what if, in future years, we took the amount that we made from the previous year and used that as what we budget for the current year? So instead, so what that would look like is for fiscal year 10-11, we wouldn't use the money we bring in this year for that fiscal year. We would use money that we brought in from 09-10.
That was a bad year.
Well, but it's not always going to be a bad year. But what I'm saying is...
And so if we actually brought in over, does that go to...
Well, if I may on the whiteboard, can I...
Okay.
So it gets to kind of government financial accounting and how you do it. So you have fiscal year 09, 10, you have fiscal year 10-11, you have mm-hmm. fiscal year...
11-12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say we have TRT revenue here, expenses down here, TRT, and we have this category called unappropriated ending fund balance, or carryover.
Yep.
Carry.
We like that.
Over. Okay, so let's say the revenue for this year is $100,000. Let's say the revenue for this year is $150,000, because we're hopefully going to have a better year, right?
Okay.
Let's say the revenue for this year is $135,000. Okay. So this would be kind of a moot point. So we wouldn't spend any money, let's say this year, because we would in this idea we'd be spending fiscal year 08-09. So in fiscal year 10-11, we would spend $100,000.
Okay.
But the carryover would be $100,000.
No,
50.
No, the carryover would be $100,000 because we didn't spend any money this year. Because we would have spent last year's money.
Okay.
So the revenue this year is $150,000 in TRT for fiscal, and then we have the carryover as revenue as well. So we have $100,000. So we have $250,000 to spend this year. However, we're only going to spend last year's money because that's the money we know we have. We know we have $100,000 to spend. So we can make a decision based on this 100,000, as opposed to a number that we don't know we're going to get or not get, right?
Well, conceptually.
Conceptually, yeah. I mean, this is all kind of conceptually. So then we'd have a carryover 150, and then this would go up here, and we'd spend 150, and we'd carry over 135 in the next year. And that's, I mean, it's just an idea. What I'm trying to do here is create more stability.
Yeah, you know, I know what you're trying to do
for the group, but we kind of roughly know what these numbers are going to be. I mean, from a good year to a bad year.
But the problem is, we don't have the 100,000
exactly.
That's but the what we do have is the 30% that's sitting in there, which could be the carryover.
So that's what I'm thinking.
Balances it and cushions it.
Well, I guess what I agree. I think it's a good model. The unknown, though, is that, you know, it's like we said, we don't. We've already spent.
Mm-hmm. We've already spent last year. Exactly.
Well, basically, 10-11, we've spent this year's. The fiscal year was starting July 1st. We are spending as we speak.
Yep.
And it gets spent every quarter.
Yep.
So the only way we could go to a model that you're suggesting, and I know why you're suggesting it, because you'd like to be able to say,
this year we have $100,000.
Easier way of saying it is, Rohia, this year we can give you $5,000. And rather than X percent of what we budgeted, we can give you at least $5,000. So if you're going out trying to get, something or other for Parks and Rec, again, you're not on the teeter totter about what you're going to get. So I think that the question I had for Patty is even more important now about where is that 30%.
And I'd like to know if there's any time limit of when you need to actually disperse those TRT funds.
Yeah, that's a good question too.
And I think there is still money in the set aside from previous years.
There is, according to a budget I saw back here.
Although I don't think that it includes this year, because I think that we requested that the city council give us that money this year. I'll have to go back and look.
From that we've been piling up, it was $5,000 or $7,000.
No, we didn't take from that, just from this year.
Okay.
The set aside. So. Are you good with everything we're asking?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think I understand what you're
if you're not,
wanting to know.
Give me a call I can come down or come down and talk with you and Rick or whatever.
Okay.
I think literally this would just, it would help us to be able to say, you know, we know we have $100,000. And then we can parse it out based on that fact as opposed to based on.
So we're always spending money from the year that's already gone by, so it's always sitting there.
Correct.
Right.
Collecting interest.
Have you ever talked to Alana? I mean, is that how COVID does it, or do they, you don't know?
I don't know. When the visitor center received funds from them in the past, it was very similar to what we're doing now.
Okay.
So, but this, like Justin said, this would help everybody's budgeting if they knew what was actually coming in. So I think it's a good idea. I wonder if you could do it on paper though, and pretty much do it as establish the numbers in that way. Even if the dollars weren't actually there, you could project it based on the previous years. And I think the budgeting happens something.
Well, and I think essentially that's what you'd have to do unless the city said, here's a bucket of money that you can use to pad your money to guarantee that Rohia is going to get $5,000. Mm-hmm. If the city said, here's a bucket of money, then we can budget off of that. That being said, what you're saying is correct. Basically, what we're sitting in our reality is for fiscal year 10-11. If we know we bring in $150,000, that's what we're budgeting for next year. Then the hard part is, do we decide to budget that whole amount, or do we decide to keep a contingency in case?
If we can.
I read the state statute the last time, and I don't remember seeing this, but I wasn't thinking about the statute from this frame of reference. But you know, I think
Well, see, the whole thing does bear some thought, because you know what happens because of the fiscal year starting July 1st. Rodeo and Frontier Days needs their money
now.
Well, yeah, now to start marketing. If they're going to do a good job, and we're actually going to meet our goal of creating more tourism, they really should be putting out the dollars now. So what happens is the chamber dips into their money to help some of that stuff up front, and we don't get our money till August for what we help them promote as early as we could, but we don't go as early as we should because we really don't have that money to work with. And so somewhere along the way, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. So given what Justin is talking about, would be, you know, a desirable thing.
Right.
It's just that how you get there, because, I mean, you can't physically get there very easy because we're relying on those dollars year to year to do our events and stuff.
But at the same point, we can't be responsible for how the rodeo or Frontier Days manages their money. We just have to make sure.
Well, and a lot of them have just used it as when they get the funds, they reimburse themselves for money they put
in. Well, I'm pretty sure that's
right. But I think that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, right. And it's all kind of an education process as we go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to get to an ultimate, really good option here.
And then the other thing that this would also offer.
Or solution, I mean.
What this would offer is because the fiscal year 10-11 funds would become available July 1, and we would have had all those funds in there, we could start the application process September 1, hand the money out by December 1st, because July is really the time you want to be advertising.
Why are we doing it in July?
Well, because that's the way it was always done. It's kind of, you know, if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got.
But how did we set it up that way? Is that just when the committee was formed?
Well, it's the beginning of the fiscal year.
Oh, it's the beginning of the city's fiscal year.
Fiscal year for budgeting, yeah.
But I think that what Justin is suggesting makes a world of sense.
Yes,
you know, if you do an application. But if you do that, that also means that you can only dole out X amount of money for the first year that you do that.
Exactly.
And then, you know, it just means more meetings and work for us as well as the applicants, but at least then they know on January 1st, okay, I've got money now that I can start working with, or what have you.
How would that mean more meetings for us?
Well, because we're going to have to evaluate for this time plus the next time around.
Oh, I see. So there would be 1 year where there would be more meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, let's think on this, because that may help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, because they usually do their planning a year in advance.
In the summer, when they're not frozen in.
Yeah.
Well, and I think what I'd like to hear back from, I'd like to hear from some of those events, and not necessarily from you, but maybe we can ask Ann about Frontier Days and ask Scott or someone to come in from the rodeo and or Florence. You know, a few other events, and just tell us, okay, what's roll up our sleeves? How do you actually? I mean, what's reality? What's your reality? And how can we help you to make that easier? Okay.
Good points, Justin.
So I think we've got a fair amount of work to do.
But we'll get it right one of these days.
And I'm seeing that it's 6:35, so I really want to try and honor as much of our time as possible.
Okay.
So I think what I'd like to do next is talk about when we'd like to meet again.
Well, we had January 25th.
Mm-hmm.
We did, and I heard you say you can't make it, and actually neither can I.
Tuesdays are bad for me now, unfortunately.
And amazingly enough,
yeah, they're bad
for me too.
Okay.
But we also have to work within the calendar constraints.
We've got a lot of meetings. Wednesdays are we're packed.
Mondays are also not great for me.
I mean, I can do Tuesdays at like 8.
Thursdays open. Thursdays
are. Or we can do Tuesday mornings too. I mean,
well, that. That's not workable for Linda.
No. Oh, right, you have that school.
Unless you do it at
6 a.m.
It like at 7
a.m.
No. I could do 7.
Well, I could. Yeah, I could do 7.
Or 7:30.
I mean,
occasionally I could do a 7:30.
The other thing we have to remember is we're holding a public meeting.
Right, and it's not. Yeah.
And so we have to make it as accessible as possible,
right,
for anyone from the public.
Can we go to Thursdays then?
I could probably do Thursdays.
Does that work for you, Justin?
Let me just...
How about Ann?
We don't know about Ann yet. But I could do... Let's see, today is the 11th.
City Council, isn't it?
Second and fourth.
Yeah, see, unfortunately...
Planning is Thursday, I think, isn't it?
Planning is the Wednesday in between the two councils.
Oh, good. Thursdays are good, then.
Yeah, and I can't do next, the 20th.
Well, what Thursday can you do?
But I could do the 27th is...
How about next Thursday?
Well, next Thursday is...
I think that's too soon to do all the work.
The 20th.
You want to have this done by February 1st, huh?
Well, that was my goal, is to try to get an application knocked out by the first week in February. I mean, if we wanted to... I mean, if you guys feel like we could meet on, say, Thursday the 3rd of February... and plan for like an hour and a half meeting and just come in here with our sleeves rolled up and knock it out so that we can get the application out to the public the next week. And the other thing we're going to need to do is set up a series of timelines.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patty, I mean, could you email me the application and I'll bring in my laptop and we can just sit here and, can we get a projector and I could print out the application and... Do the application by committee, get it looking good, spell check, edited.
Yeah, I mean,
we can...
Does the city have a projector?
Pardon?
Does the city have a projector?
No, Rick has, though.
Huh?
Rick has,
so do I.
Brings in
sometimes. I've got two, actually. So I can bring a projector.
Yeah, just pound it out, I mean...
So, why don't we do this? Let's shoot for 5:30 on the 3rd of February. Are you good with that, Linda?
Sure. Oh, I'm sorry.
Both Lindas?
I'm sorry. I was making notes and answering for you, Linda. Sorry.
I think that's good right now.
And we're going to have to check with Ann to see if she can make that. I hope she can. And the other thing I'd really like to ask the committee is I'd like to get a couple more people sitting at this table with us. Mm-hmm. And I wrote an article and put it in the Eagle, and I haven't received any responses, but I know the Eagle just went out, last week. But I'd really like to get a couple more people from the community.
Well, originally when they set this up, one member will be this, one member will be that, hospitality, we could never get anybody. So how true do we want to do to this committee membership?
Well, that's something I think we need to talk to the city council about, because those were based on their recommendations.
Right, at the time.
And quite frankly, I think that...
We've never done
it. When you sign up for this thing, you're signed up for a 3-year gig. I mean... Sign up for city council, it's a 4-year gig. That's a long time to commit yourself to weekly meetings or whatever. So maybe we do a couple of just seasonal type of seats. I'd still like to have the consistency of some longer serving members, but bottom line is I'd like to have more of the community available to provide input. Mm-hmm. So if you guys know of anybody who might be willing to make that commitment, I'm going to talk to Bob Keller about it. He might, or he might be willing to help out. And it'd be great if we could get somebody from either the restaurant or the hotel trade in here helping us out.
Yeah. Do you think Brian would help?
Well, I know he's awful busy. I don't have his email, but I have Janine's.
What was it when we applied? Didn't the city put something out for tourism committee members?
Yeah. We still got something running.
Yeah, that's been kind of a permanent fixture.
Okay. The paper it's posted.
Because there was a bunch.
What are you mentioning right now?
Well, When Linda and Justin and I
all applied
to join the committee, there was kind of a public broadcast because we had people going off the committee, and all three of us showed up and said, hey, here's what we bring to the table, and at the time there was just one seat open. I was awarded that seat, and then we had other people going off, so we brought in Linda and Justin and another woman named Ann to join us. So, but the city would like to have seven members on most of their committees. Is everybody good with action items, with what we need to do? Because I think what I'd like to suggest is that we have a fair amount of conversation back and forth, either via email or phone calls or what have you, so that we can really get this ready. Then let's plan on like a 5:30 to 7 p.m. meeting on the, the 3rd of February, because I think it will probably take an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And, yes, sir?
Just want to make three suggestions before you close the meeting. Since you were lost on the pages, I thought it might help to say page X of Y on the
Right. That's what I was going to suggest when we put that all together is, you know, you number the pages of the application.
It's 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other one was while you're, I don't know if you have a part on the application that asks, how is receiving these funds going to help? Ask that question.
I believe we do.
Yeah, I think there is.
Okay. It's stated about six times.
By the way, are you available to join the committee?
I'm curious if it would impede my writing.
Here's the deal.
Would I still be considered unbiased? I get the right of it, you know?
I don't think so. It depends on how you publish. I mean, it's public record.
Yeah.
I mean, we're being recorded right now.
Yeah. Okay.
But the bottom line is, it's the nice thing about this committee is, for the most part, it's more of a shorter term type of committee. So we start in January, we're kind of done in July. We may end up doing some changing of that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, other committees like the Planning Committee and Transportation and all that, they're meeting all the time.
Well, I'd love to join. I'd love to be able to bounce ideas off the business community.
We'd love to have you. That'd be great. And I think what we need to do is have you make a formal application and then present it to the city council. Which just so happens to
be... Leave me your email address, I can email the application.
All right.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, great.
And then the other thing, the last thing was, like when you go to the DMV and check the box to register me to vote, maybe the applicants can have maybe they wouldn't be applying, but a waiver to have their money pooled so their money can have more of a power collectively and, let's say, you know, have an advertising campaign in Salt Lake City, Utah.
We're kind of doing that already through the tourism, the visitor center. A lot of the events have banded together under the auspices of the tourism or the visitor center, and Dan is the director of the chamber and the tourism center, and works with Frontier Days, rodeo, some other events to coordinate all those things, and then he presents a collective application to us. Line item, all of those events. So we're kind of already doing that.
Okay.
But I'm loving your thinking.
All right. just opportunity to say something.
Sure, go for it.
On the
one of the things, you know, you mentioned having the rodeo give you some feedback and stuff. One of the things that some of the organizations, they would just about rather not go through the application process with the city than ask for money, because it seems cumbersome and difficult. Mm-hmm. So it's two things there. We've sort of bridged that gap by doing, taking them in, you know, and doing the consolidated thing. So we're doing the work for them, and they're just giving us the information. But there still might be other people who don't want to do it that way. A thought that I had was, if, and somebody else brought up two or three times, is simplifying it as much as possible, making it, getting rid of the legalese and just putting in easy to understand bullet points.
Yeah.
But I think someplace, probably at the beginning, should be a conceptual message as to what we're trying to accomplish here, like a mission statement.
Aren't you doing that?
Yes, I'm doing that.
He's doing the marketing piece up here, right?
Yeah, I'm
not necessarily marketing, it's a definition.
But that's what it's going to do.
Okay. Because it's, people out here don't know, they don't understand why the whole thing exists, why they can't have money to do certain things, and say, if we could educate them, I know you're talking about something in the newspaper, but those people are most interested are the ones that might want to make an application.
Yeah.
So if it's very, very clear in two lines what this is all about, I think it would help.
Well, me, Dan, because I was going to ask you for your help anyway.
That was one of the things that's kind of been in my back pocket since last year, is just including something like that in the application that says, okay, here's the deal. Here's what we're doing.
Here's what we need from you.
Where we're doing it. Here's what we need from you. Here's where the money comes from. And, you know, if you have any questions, call Linda.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting over to Dan.
All right, so I think I heard a motion to adjourn.
I did.
Any second? Okay. Everybody good with the dream?
Yep.
All right. We're adjourned at, I've got 6:47.
Good job.
Great.